This is Audible.
Macmillan Audio presents Illusion by Sherilyn Kenyon. Read by Holter Graham. Prologue.
Nick? Honey? You're not really asleep, are you?
Nick blinked his eyes open as some loud thumping song he didn't know made his ears ring. In fact, he was surrounded by all kinds of noise, like a party.
What the?
He lifted his head from his folded arms to find himself not in the bed he'd fallen into, but at a
prom?
Yeah. It was a fancy prom with hideous swan and star cardboard cutouts and enough pink fabric to make him feel like he'd fallen into a Pepto-Bismol factory. Scowling, he scanned the darkened hotel ballroom where his classmates were partying hard to some flashy DJ on a raised dais. How had he gotten here? When had he come to this? Wait, forget all of that for a minute. It had been late fall when he'd gone to bed. Weren't proms always held in the spring?
Yeah, they were.
Crap. How had he lost 6 months of his life? When had he lost them? But what floored him most were the people sitting at the round table with him. Caleb was to his right. But instead of the pretty boy jock he was supposed to be, Caleb was a bit heavyset and wore a retainer.
At a prom?
Huh? Retainer? Was it a costume party of some kind? After all, it was New Orleans, the only place in the world where they could turn opening a regular envelope into a grand procession. Yeah, that made more sense of what he was seeing. Especially the usually flamboyant Simi, who was currently wearing an understated pink frilly dress down to her ankles with a sweater buttoned up to her chin. He frowned as he followed the line of her arm to where she held Caleb's hand.
Demon.
See me. With Caleb. Yeah. I'm insane, and the devil's cracking icicles in his hot tub. My dad must have sucked out my brains when he died. Or maybe this is Caleb's idea of a joke? The demon did have a sick sense of humor at times.
Please, let me just be crazy.
The sheer magnitude of possible and awful paranormal alternatives made a straitjacket seem like the most desirable outcome. Casey sat beside Nick, wearing a pair of thick glasses and an outdated dress that looked like something from a 1980s John Hughes movie.
Is this a dream?
It was too real for that, and yet,
Nick, you're looking kind of sick, like you're about to hurl. Are you okay?
Casey rubbed his hand. No, he was definitely not okay. He felt like someone had just sucker-punched him as his gaze locked on a short, stubby geek whose eyes and dark hair were all too familiar.
No, it couldn't be.
Stone? He beamed.
Yeah, buddy. Should I call your dad to come get you? You don't look like you should be driving.
I can take him home.
Nick went cold at a voice he didn't want to recognize.
No, no, no.
There was no way he was here. Why would an 11,000-year-old, all-powerful immortal come to a high school prom? Not like the being would be bored, given all the things out to end them.
Don't look. Don't do it.
But like a grisly car wreck, Nick had to. His stomach tight, he was terrified of where his nightmare would take him this time.
Stop!
The moment he turned, he knew he'd died and gone to the real hell. That was the only plausible explanation he could wrap his head around, the only explanation that made sense, because this was the freak fest of all time. It was definitely Acheron Parthenopaeus, all 5 feet tall of him, with short brown hair and blue eyes, and in a pink tux. Nick laughed at something that was a lot scarier than it was funny, but he didn't know what else to do except scream, and that might get him put in a straitjacket for real. Maybe I have lost my mind. Yeah, that was a little more acceptable than this current nightmare. He swallowed hard, then returned his attention to Stone. Can I ask a weird question?
If you must.
Raking his hand through his hair, Nick tried to figure out why he was having this screwed-up dream. What had he eaten? Or, better yet, had something finally eaten him? But for now, until he unraveled what was happening, he had no choice except to ride this horror out to its conclusion. What's my dad's name? They all laughed. Yeah, so not funny. Nick forced himself not to insult them for their ridicule. Come on, guys, just play along and answer the question. Ash snorted, then answered in a nasal tone.
You know your dad, Nick. Michael Burdett. He's an accountant who works with Caleb's father.
Caleb had a dad, too? Sure, and fat, flying fairies made Nick's tacky clothes every night and left them for him in the bathroom. Nick arched a brow at Caleb. And your father would be... Caleb scowled at him.
What is your problem, boy? You know my dad is your dad's best friend and has been since forever.
Caleb Fingerman? Hello? Mark's my dad? Nick started laughing and laughing. He couldn't stop. Yeah, this was all insane. He must have been hitting the head a lot harder than he thought.
Okay, joke's over, everyone. Ha ha, you got me.
What joke?
Ash, Caleb, and Stone asked while the women looked at him as if he was the one who was nuts. Unable to deal with it anymore, Nick rose to his feet and curled his lip. You know, for a joke to work, it actually needs to be funny, guys, and this is not even a little. Angry at them, he stormed off to the bathroom to splash water on his face and wake up. Something had to get him out of this nightmare and back home. But the moment Nick looked into the bathroom mirror, he froze in absolute horror. Not only was he in an ugly blue tuxedo that he'd never wear, his hair was blonde, and his eyes were an average gray color. Worse, he was a lot closer to the sink than he'd been in a really long time. I'm short? Ah, God, anything but that. His heart pounding, he checked his legs to make sure they were intact. They were. And yet he was only 5'8", if that much.
No,
I'm 6'4". Had been since his growth spurt last summer. Panic rose high as he closed his eyes and tried to summon his powers. That only made him panic more as harsh reality cracked him in the stones. No, 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 his mind shouted. It couldn't be, but it was. All of his powers were gone. Every last one of them. He had nothing. Not even a glimmer of the scrying or clairvoyance or anything.
I am totally without and locked in Hades.
Horrified, Nick gaped at the unfamiliar face he saw in the mirror that wasn't his. He pinched himself and shook his head. It was him. Somehow he'd morphed into a short blonde dude. Unable to accept it, he tried everything he could to wake up, but nothing worked. He continued to exist here, in this freak world. It's not a dream. Somehow this was real. He was real, and he was here, wherever here was. Madog walked in and sneered at him. No longer skinny and nerdy, he was the 6'4" Nick should have been, and ripped.
What are you looking at, Burdett? Cruising for a date?
Burdett? Nick repeated, looking around for Bubba.
Maddox shoved him. Nick Burdett? Can't you even recognize your own name?
He rolled his eyes.
Dog boy, how dumb are you?
He went over to a urinal. Stunned, confused, and terrified, Nick stumbled out to the prom that was filled with people he knew but didn't recognize. Reaching for something, anything, to prove this wasn't happening, that he was being punked, he pulled his wallet out and checked his license. It was the new blonde him in the photo. But what hit him like a kick in the crotch was the name. Nicholas Michael Burdett, instead of Nicholas Ambrosius Gaucher. What the Hades has happened? And more importantly, how could he undo it when he no longer had any power and his preternatural allies were now all woefully normal?
Chapter 1.
Nick? Boo? Get up, you're going to be late for school.
Groaning in fear of what he might find this time, Nick opened his eyes to see the navy blue curtains his mom had bought him last year when they moved into their condo on Bourbon Street. Relief flooded him.
It was just a nightmare after all. Thank you, God.
That was his thought until he realized that the window wasn't the same. Instead of being a large, single window, it was two windows with a divider between them. Aw, crap, not again. Haven't I suffered enough indignities and horrors, really? His heart hammering, Nick slowly swept his gaze around a room he didn't recognize.
At all.
His stomach tightened to the point he feared he'd be ill.
Nick?
His mom knocked lightly before she pushed open the door to smile at him.
So you are up, sleepyhead. Hurry now, or else you'll get another tardy.
Even more unsettled than before, Nick gaped at the sight of her in an expensive dark blue business suit with her blonde hair cut short to frame her beautiful face. That definitely wasn't her waitress uniform.
Mom?
Scowling, she moved to stand by the bed and placed her hand to his forehead.
Are you all right? You look pale.
Stunned, he couldn't speak as he stared at a stranger in his mother's body.
Charisse, it's London calling. They need to speak to you. Said I can't wait.
His eyes widened at the sound of that familiar, deep, thick Tennessee southern drawl.
Bubba? What the heck was Bubba doing in his house at 7:30 in the morning?
It'd been bad enough when Nick had come home from the prom and found him here, but that he'd attributed to a date. No, wait, that wasn't right. Someone had told him at the prom that Bubba was his father now.
Caleb?
For some reason, he couldn't remember. And why in the world would someone in London call his mom?
Maybe London's a name.
No, not possible. This was bad. Bad. His mom didn't know anyone named London.
I'll be right there, Michael.
She squeezed Nick's cheek.
You don't have a fever. Did you stay up too late?
Honestly, he feared some kind of terminal brain damage. How hard had that demon slammed him on the ground while they fought to get his mom back? His door opened again to show Bubba in a black Armani suit. Nick only knew that designer brand because they were the ones his immortal boss, Kyrian, favored. And Nick had had a seizure the first time he'd gone to pick one up and had seen the cost of it.
Who wore that stuff? And why?
Huge as ever, Bubba had abandoned his beard for smooth cheeks and wore a short, stylish cut. Yeah, this definitely wasn't the burly redneck who hunted zombies in the bayou with his lunatic best friend. One who was paranoid as all get out and armed to a level that the ATF had him on their watch list. As if he hadn't morphed into some creepy businessman, Bubba came in and handed a cordless phone to his mom. Removing her expensive earrings, she cupped her hand over the mouthpiece and whispered to Bubba,
I think our boo is sick. See what you think.
She stepped out of the room to deal with her call. Bubba knelt his gigantic form by the bed and brushed the hair back from Nick's forehead.
You all right, buddy?
Now there was a loving tone Bubba had never used with him before. That was even more terrifying than having a Karanti demon try to eat him. Completely dumbfounded by it all, Nick dropped his gaze to the huge football championship ring on Bubba's hand. The diamonds on the front formed a pattern reminiscent of a fleur-de-lis. They were framed by the words 40 on one side and Niners on the other. The name Burdette was on the 40 side, and Super Bowl 24, 55-10, on the Niners side. Gasping, he fingered the ring as he remembered Bubba's mama telling him how Bubba could have gone pro after college, but had decided to stay home with his wife and son instead. This looks so real. Bubba snorted.
It is real, you know that.
He duplicated Nick's scowl.
What's going on with you, Squirt? You have a test you're trying to avoid?
No, I'm fine. Not a morning person. Laughing, Bubba stood up and pulled the covers off Nick.
Come on, Mom made pancakes for breakfast and they're getting cold.
He left the room. Still disoriented and confused, Nick rolled out of bed. This was so screwed up. Raking his hand through his hair, he gaped at the photo on his desk of a sweaty Bubba in a 49ers uniform holding him as a toddler, dressed in a matching 49ers jersey with Burdette on the back. At least Nick thought it was him. The face and blonde hair belonged to the stranger he kept seeing in the mirror. It was a picture from a newspaper where the 49ers had won the Super Bowl, January 28, 1990. What the heck? In 1990, Nick would have been 6. The Nick in the photo couldn't be more than 3 or 4. I'm in another coma. At least that made sense to his scrambled mind. Yeah, he could definitely go with that. Instead of being sent to the nether realm, he was trapped here, wherever here was. Caleb or Cody would wake him up at any moment, and everything would be back to normal. He just had to make sure he didn't get sucked into a hell realm and eaten by a demon or zombie until they figured this out and performed another rescue mission. Come on, guys. Hurry. He wasn't sure how long his sanity would hold. Cringing at what he saw in the bathroom mirror, he curled his lip. Gah, it was so strange to see someone else peering back at him. While he'd never been vain, he missed the way he used to look, the dark hair. And height. He really missed being tall. Shorts sucked. How did short guys stand it? Give me growing pains any day over this. Turning on the shower, he took a moment to replay the last events he remembered through his mind. He'd been in Le Monde au-delà des voix, the world behind the veil, where his mother had been taken after being kidnapped by demons. He, along with Cody and Caleb, had fought off the huge demonic werewolf, Zavid, and demons to get her and his father out. His dad had died in the fighting, and he'd given Nick all of his Malachi powers. Powers Caleb and Cody had bound up tight until Nick could learn to use them and to better protect him from the supernatural predators that wanted to kill him and take those powers for themselves. Nick froze as another fear went through him. His powers were forever malfunctioning. Could the binding potion from last night be the reason for all of this? Had it backfired and changed everything? Made sense. He'd once turned his friend Madog into a goat by mistake. Maybe the potion last night had turned Madog into a douche, and me into a short loser. As he left the shower, he winced at his reflection. And I thought I was skinny before. Dog, he looked awful. His arms were so frail, he was surprised he didn't snap them off reaching for the towel. Not the image he wanted for the rest of his life. Toweling his now blonde hair, he tried not to think about it as he dressed and headed downstairs. The only good thing about this weird life was the lack of tacky Hawaiian shirts in his closet. It appeared his mom had finally let go of her Magnum PI fetish and gone shopping somewhere other than Goodwill. He paused on the stairs to gape at the photos of him, his mom, and Bubba from Nick's birth to high school. Dang, is there not one incarnation of my life in any alternate universe where my mom didn't take a photo of me naked in the bathtub with a rubber duck, really? He didn't know what was more shocking, those weird, non-doctored photos, or the massive size of this humongous house. For that matter, it took him several minutes just to find the kitchen. This is worse than trying to navigate Kieran's mansion. At least there, he had Rosa to ask for directions whenever he got lost. Eyes wide, Nick hesitated in the doorway as he saw Bubba at the table, reading the Wall Street Journal, while his mom cleaned up the griddle that was part of their massive gas stove. That thing alone looked like something out of an alien movie. He'd never seen a more normal morning scene in his life, and that scared the bejesus out of him. She glanced over to him and smiled. "There's my favorite, boo. You feeling better, baby?" "Hardly." "Sure, Ma." Bubba checked his watch.
"You better grab it to go. I don't have to talk to Mr. Hutchins again about your tardies."
Nick scowled at the unfamiliar name. "Mr. Hutchins?"
"Principal."
Bubba folded the paper up and placed it on the table. Nick was even more confused than before. "When did St. Richard's get another principal? What happened to Mr. Head? Did zombies eat him too?" "Who's Mr. Head?" his mom asked. Nick stopped while he was way behind. At least until he caught sight of the date on the newspaper by Bubba's hand, his heart stopped. No flippin' way. It had to be wrong. April 22, 2002? Is this a fake paper? Bubba frowned at him.
"Maybe we should take you to a doctor."
That was all he needed, a visit to a psych ward.
No, I'm fine, really.
Discreetly, Nick pulled out his license and checked his date of birth. His stomach hit the ground. If that was right, he was still 16, but that wasn't the right birth year for him. Everything here was wrong. How is this possible? How?
"I better get to school," Nick breathed.
"Where's my backpack?" His mom ruffled his hair. "I think you left it in your car."
"The Jag?"
Bubba burst out laughing. "You wish. I'm not letting you drive the Jag until you're 18, buddy. It's in your Jeep."
"Okay, go with it. Don't react. All is right in my world."
"Yeah, right."
Nothing about any of this was right or normal, which, given his royally screwed up life, said a lot. He wanted to scream until it went back to the way it was supposed to be. His mom brought the keys to him and held her hand to his forehead again.
"Are you sure you're all right?"
"Better alive than a straitjacket."
"Fine."
"Michael, I'm thinking we might need to take him to a doctor."
"Sweetheart, you've got to quit babying him so. He's a man with a job. He says he's fine. He's fine."
Nick arched a brow at that. Could he still be working for Kieran or Liza in this place? If Kieran was around, he might be able to help. Surely a 2,000-year-old immortal warrior who'd sold his soul to a goddess would know something about alternate realities. For that matter, Nick might be able to borrow Kieran's ring and summon the Greek goddess Artemis himself and get some long overdue answers. His mother bit her bottom lip as she brushed her hand through Nick's hair.
"He's still my baby."
Grateful that hadn't changed, Nick gave her a quick hug before he headed for the front of the house. Bubba cleared his throat.
"Where you going, son?"
"The curb."
"Why? Your Jeep's in the garage."
They had a garage? Nick looked up at the ornate crown molding in this expensive house. Of course they had a garage.
"Oh, okay."
He headed in the opposite direction. With a slight hesitation, he opened the door that he assumed was the garage, only to find himself in the pantry. Crap.
Grabbing some Pop-Tarts for the road, Nick said, covering his mistake. Still, they both stared at him as if he'd escaped Arkham Asylum.
Offering them a fake smile, he grabbed the pastries, crossed himself, and hoped he got the next door correct.
Nope. Bathroom.
With a pain-filled groan at his rampant stupidity, Nick pretended to use it before he tried again. At least there were only two more doors to go. 50-50 chance. Thankfully, third time was the charm. He let out a relieved breath as he stepped down and saw a red Jeep, black SUV, and silver Jaguar in the three-car garage. Man, that was so wrong. That Jag was the same car Asheron had given him when he'd brought Nick's license over to their condo.
I want the life back, where I get to drive that without Bubba flipping out on me.
Then again, this was a normal life. Really normal, like other people's lives. No one was trying to kill him or eat him. He didn't have a principal who thought he was the biggest loser on the planet. Half the football team wasn't turning into zombies or werewolves. There was no psycho demon coach threatening him if he didn't help kill his fellow teammates. Bubba and Mark weren't cattle prod wielding lunatics.
You know, this has possibilities.
It might not be bad to be normal for a while. Weird and poor hadn't worked out that well for him. Rich and well-dressed might be another story. Feeling better about it all, Nick decided he'd stop complaining about everything and just try this life on for a while. It might suit him. After climbing into his Jeep, he made his way to school, where no one stared at him as if he'd just run over their dog. In fact, it was disturbing how little attention he garnered. No one seemed to care at all that he was here.
I could get used to this.
Hey, Nick.
It took him a second to realize it was Caleb Fingerman, not Malvis, who was walking up to him in the hallway.
Hi, Caleb. Feeling any better?
He scowled at Caleb's question. Pardon?
I called to check on you, but your dad said you didn't feel well, that you went to bed as soon as you got home without saying a word to anyone.
Yes, he had. After stumbling through the mansion and finding his room, he'd been hoping it was all a bad dream and that he'd wake up at home.
Bust on that thought.
Yeah, I think it was just a bug.
Nick headed for his locker. As he tried to open it, the larger and snottier Madog grabbed him and snatched him back.
What are you doing, butt munch? You trying to put a love letter in my locker or something?
Nick shrugged his hold off. I was going to my locker. Madog shoved him across the hall.
Yours is over there, doof.
How many paint chips did you eat for breakfast?
Scowling, Nick met Caleb's concerned gaze.
Are you sure you're okay?
Nick returned his backpack to his shoulder.
Can you keep a secret?
Always.
I think I have amnesia.
Caleb's eyes widened.
From what?
Being slammed into lockers by dung-sniffing Neanderthals?
Nick passed an evil glare at Madog as he walked past them. I can't seem to remember anything, like, where's my first class?
Did you tell your parents?
Nick shook his head. You know how my mom is. I don't want to go to the Mayo Clinic for a hangnail. I feel fine. I just can't remember anything.
That's not fine, Nick. That's a big problem.
Yes, it was. But not for the reasons Caleb was thinking. Please, don't tell anyone, Caleb.
All right. I'll help. But if it doesn't get better, you really need to have it checked out.
I will.
Caleb showed him to his locker and then opened it after Nick couldn't.
The combo is your dad's jersey number, your mom's birth year, and the year your dad's team won the Super Bowl.
He arched a brow at Caleb's dissertation.
How do you know that?
Caleb shrugged. We've been best friends since birth. There's nothing about you I don't know.
Yeah, right. He didn't know that Nick didn't belong here, and that in another life, Caleb was a badass demigod demon spawn, and Nick was his half-breed demon kin charge, who was wanted by most anything not human-born.
Don't think about it.
Grabbing his chem book, Nick stood up, shut his locker, then clicked his heels together 3 times. Caleb gave him a strange look.
What are you doing?
Nick sighed heavily. Seeing if what worked for Dorothy and witches worked for demon spawn, too. He scowled.
Dorothy? Demon spawn? What in the name of sanity are you talking about?
Nothing. Nick scanned the hall as he tucked his book into his backpack. So where's Cody?
Cody who?
Kennedy. My girlfriend, sort of. At least she was whenever she wasn't trying to kill or confuse him.
Did you forget that too?
Casey's your girlfriend.
So it had seemed at the prom, but given Casey's bipolar affaire de coeur, Nick wasn't eager to renew their friendship. Honestly, he wanted to stay away from her for a while, just to be safe.
Yeah, but where's Cody?
Caleb continued to stare at him as if he'd grown another head.
Where does she go to school?
Was he serious?
Here, with us.
He shook his head.
We don't have a Cody in this school, Nick.
That sick, awful feeling returned to his stomach. No Cody? How is that possible? If she existed in his realm, wouldn't she have to be here, too? And if she was gone from here, was that a good thing or a really bad one?
Hey, guys, guess what I did?
Nick cringed at the new incarnation of Asheron as he joined them. He still couldn't get used to or accept this person as his friend. His Ash was not normal in any sense of the word. He was the goth king, Asheron, towering over Nick and the rest of the world with his massive 7 feet of augmented height. An 11,000-year-old warrior. Asheron was the epitome of lethal, in-your-face badass. And with that thought, Nick felt that familiar, weird fissure of preternatural power emanating in the air between them. It was definitely Asheron's essence. But as soon as he felt it, it was gone, and he was back in this normal realm.
Nick? Ash put his hand on his shoulder to steady him. You all right?
No. His head swam viciously. And for a moment, he thought he might collapse. Everything around him was wobbling like he was watching the world through water. Pain radiated through his entire being and settled hard in the pit of his stomach. He looked down at his hand that no longer appeared human at all. His skin bubbled, then turned translucent. Terrified of someone else seeing it, he clenched his fist tight and hid it under his shirt tail.
Great.
All I need is to turn into a human jellyfish right in front of everyone. That would not be a fun explanation to have to make. He'd rather back over his mom's favorite houseplant. And still, that wobbling persisted. Something was seriously wrong with him, and he needed to find real help. Someone who could tell him what was going on and which reality was his. This world? Or the one he thought he knew. What if everything in my life until now has been a dream? Or worse, what if it wasn't? Licking his lips, Nick met Ash's befuddled stare.
I feel sick. I need to head out. See that doctor you told me about.
He handed his backpack to Caleb, then started for the door.
You can't leave campus?
Caleb hissed. Nick snorted at Caleb's panic.
Stop me.
He opened the door and went straight for the street. Yeah, he might get into trouble later, but right now, he didn't care. Forget this normal crap. He had to have some answers. From someone. Sprinting over to Royal, he went to Bubba's store, the Triple B, but instead of the computer and gun store Bubba owned, it was now a beauty salon. Everything in it was pink and white, girly. Bubba would die to see this. His precious sanctum had been defiled by rollers and hand lotions, hair pieces, celebrity gossip rags instead of zombie survival classes. There was no sign of the store where Nick had spent the last few years learning about computers, lunatic conspiracy theories, and pending government-sanctioned zombie attacks, how to protect himself from the undead, undesirables, and unknown. Strange. But he really missed that, Bubba and Mark. Heck, he even missed the stench of Mark's duck urine zombie deterrent deodorant. Grief-stricken and disoriented, Nick headed down the street to where Liza's doll store had been in business since long before his birth. Just like Bubba's, it was gone. Instead of glass shelves filled with handmade porcelain and vinyl dolls, some that doubled as stabbing weapons, it was another ubiquitous antique store. This isn't right. He wanted to cry at the absence of the people he knew and cared about. Crazy and eccentric though they were his family. He couldn't stand the thought of not seeing them again. What had happened to Ms. Liza? His senses reeling, Nick made his way to Canal to grab a streetcar so that he could head over to Kieran's house in the Garden District. Bubba had said Nick had a job. Maybe, just maybe, he still worked for Kieran. Maybe this part of his life hadn't changed. Please, give me something to hold on to. Desperately, he clung to that hope. Something had to make sense. Something had to be the same, right? Stepping off the streetcar, Nick wasn't sure what to expect, especially after all he'd seen so far. But if Kieran was still here in this reality, he'd have to be a dark hunter. Wouldn't he? Just don't be an attorney. Or something equally banal. Not like what had been done to Asheron. Nick wasn't sure he could handle that kind of shock again. He slowed as he walked past a faded blue antebellum mansion. The windows were open and someone was playing a piano. Even though he was Catholic, he knew the popular Southern Baptist hymn that was often a favorite among the street musicians who sang in the quarter. It was one Tyree's grandma would often hum whenever she shelled beans on her front porch when he was a kid. And when the unknown older woman's voice began the strains of "Will the Circle Be Unbroken," a chill went straight down his spine. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Back in Nick's world, the demon spawn version of Caleb had told him to listen to the signs that the universe sent him. They were warnings and guides. Could this be one of them? Did it mean that this was his new home and that he'd be stuck here forever? Too scared to contemplate what it could mean for him, he crossed the street and made his way to Kieran's. It wasn't until he reached the driveway that he remembered he hadn't had to take the streetcar. After all, he could have just driven his Jeep over. But then he'd done without a license all this time. It was hard to remember he didn't have to walk anymore. And maybe that was a sign, too. His life and his body were changing faster than he could keep track of. Nick paused halfway up the driveway as he realized another fact. There was no locked gate to prevent someone from entering the property. That didn't bode well. Kieran wouldn't be so lackadaisical. Not with his safety, and definitely not with all the things that haunted him. Crap. Cold and fearful of what he'd find, Nick climbed the white stairs and approached the familiar door.
Please let Rosa answer. Please.
Tears misted in his eyes as every instinct told him to run, to not discover what was on the other side of that portal.
But he had to know, one way or another.
And Gauchers weren't cowards in any sense of that word. Whatever fate threw at them, they faced it with a straight spine and full on.
Prepared for the worst, Nick forced himself to knock. An older woman in some kind of purple designer jumpsuit, holding a small gold Pomeranian, answered it.
Yes?
Nick swallowed hard, hoping this was Ms. Rosa's alternate form in this world. Asheron and Caleb were now geeks. Madog was cool. It could happen to Rosa, too.
Is Mr. Hunter home?
She frowned.
I'm sorry, there's no one here by that name.
Her words hit him like a fist as he felt his hope deflate. He hadn't realized until then that he'd been holding his breath, praying to see some semblance of his old life in front of him.
Dang it all.
Sorry I disturbed you, ma'am. I must have been given the wrong address. Feeling even sicker than before, Nick turned around. He just reached the steps when the woman's voice stopped him.
Now that you mention it, I do believe we purchased this home from someone named Hunter.
Hopeful, he looked back at her. Kyrian?
Yes, that was it. I remember because it was so unusual.
Kyrian had lived here. That was a good sign.
Do you know where he went?
Grief darkened her eyes as she stroked the dog's head.
Up to Jesus, baby.
Sorry. We purchased the house as part of an estate sale after that poor man was murdered down in the quarter. But that was, goodness, 25, 30 years ago? Long before you were born. How do you know him? Nick blinked back the tears that suddenly stung his throat.
He was family to me. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Do I need to call your mama for you or someone else? Are you all right?
Nick nodded. Yes, ma'am, I'm fine. My mama don't need to know I was here. Sorry I disturbed you. Completely dazed, he headed back to the street as her words sank into his heart with talons. Kyrian. Dead. Did that mean that Kyrian had been a Dark Hunter? That he'd been killed in action while trying to protect humans? Or had he been normal and living in this time period, too? God, trying to unravel this made his head feel like it was going to explode. I am too young for this. He should be at home playing ungodly amounts of Nintendo, hanging out with his friends, talking about girls and manga. Or doing whatever it was that normal kids did.
Ow! Hey, hello, I'm standing here.
He jumped at the outraged cry as he realized he'd been so lost in thought that he'd accidentally bumped into someone on the street corner.
Sorry.
He looked up into a familiar pair of blue eyes and a face he knew real well, even though the hair was brown and a frizzy mess of curls instead of the dyed black he was used to on her.
Tabitha?
With an exasperated sound, she rolled her eyes. Please tell me you're not one of Tabby's zoo crew.
To be honest, they don't usually get us confused.
She held her hand out to him.
I'm her sister, Selena. You are?
Nick. He shook her hand as hope sprung up new again inside him.
Please, God, give me this one bit.
Tabby still stalking the undead?
Oh, God, you really do know her.
Laughing in relief at something familiar, he noted Selena's unorthodox appearance. She had on an embroidered purple skirt and white tank top with a fringed brown leather jacket. Not to mention the purple and pink tarot card reader price list poster tucked under her arm.
You're psychic? She arched a brow at him. Obviously, you're not. Observant either, for that matter. Strike two for you. For once, he ignored her sarcasm. He was too grateful to have someone normal and familiar around him. Right now, getting some real answers was much more important than firing back an equally nasty retort. Do you believe in past lives and alternate universes and stuff? Of course I do. It pays my rent. She was making it harder and harder to hold his smart aleck in. No, I'm serious. Selena pinned him with a stern frown. So am I. I'm not one of the fakes on the street. I honestly believe in what I do. I know for a fact that it's all real. Then, could you help me? Help you what? Find my way home?
Chapter 2. Pursing her lips in sympathy, Selena patted Nick on his shoulder.
Sure, kid. Where do you live?
Nick shook his head. Not like that. You said you believe in alternate realities, right?
Yeah.
He braced himself to sound like the absolute flaming moron lunatic he was.
Just don't call the cops on me.
He had no desire to repeat that nightmare.
I'm not from here, okay? I went to sleep in my world or dimension or whatever it's called, and I woke up here in this one, and no offense, this one is...
He bit back the word weird because it wasn't weird, it was normal. But for him, normal was the strangest kind of weird imaginable.
I don't belong here, and I want to go home. Please help me return to my world?
She took a step back. Not that he blamed her. If someone had said that to him, he'd have been running for safety in the opposite direction after the third word out of their mouth. Said a lot for her that she was only staring at him. Nick started to close the gap between them, then stopped himself. If he did that, she might bolt.
Look, I know I sound crazy, okay? But in my world, your sister Tabitha has a boyfriend named Eric St. James. She graduated from St. Mary's, and your Aunt Anna owns a voodoo shop named Erzuli's on the corner of Royal and St. Anne. Your sister, Tiana, who's named after her, works there too. He clapped his hands as he remembered another detail he hoped was still right. And Tabitha has a twin named Amanda and, what's her name? Your other sister's a midwife who did an internship with a woman named Manyara Chartier. My godmother. And your aunt Kalila, who isn't really your aunt, but your mom's best friend from childhood, does the haunted history vampire and voodoo tours in the quarter. I've handed out flyers for her and Sid. And you have another blood-related aunt who owns Pandora's Box on Bourbon Street. Tabitha works there sometimes, and in your Aunt Zenobia's jewelry store on Royal.
Selena burst out laughing, then sobered.
Wait a minute. You're really not lying. You believe everything you just said to me.
It's the truth. At least, it is where I come from. She reached out and cupped his cheek before she pulled him against her and held him close. Nick wasn't sure why she was sexually harassing him, but he didn't fight her hug. Instead, he held his breath, praying she believed him. After several really long, uncomfortable minutes, she let him go. Stroking his cheek in a motherly fashion, she nodded.
All right. We need to find out about your home and see about returning you to it.
Really? That was it? He'd expected a little more fanfare or argument. You believe me? She shrugged.
Honestly, I'm not sure. But you're either one heck of a stalker to know all those names of my family members, or...
Tell you what, let me drop my stuff off with my friend who has a stand in the square that's right beside mine. Walk with me and... Nick interrupted her as everything fell into place for him.
You're Madame Selena, aren't you? I've seen your stand a million times as I walk past it in the square, but I never realized you were Tabitha's sister, Selena.
Partly because he never really looked at any of the psychics there.
As far back as he could remember, his mother had always been adamantly opposed to them as fakes and frauds. And since he'd learned what he really was, he'd been too afraid to go near them, in case they weren't all charlatans. With the paranormal price on his head, it paid to be cautious. Last thing he needed was a psychic trying to collect his bounty like everyone else. Or worse, his Malachi powers. But this one, her elaborate stand was hard to miss, even from a distance. "You're the psychic who has the card table right outside the visitor center next to that artist woman who has all those pastels of landmarks, sunshine artworks?" She appeared impressed. "Who's your mama, boy?" "Charisse Gaucher." He smacked himself on the forehead as he remembered she was different now. "In my time. Here she's Charisse Burdette, nay, Gaucher." Gaping, Selena laughed. "Triple threat Burdette, the huge football player's wife?" Triple threat. Yeah, that definitely described the man Nick knew so well. Much more apropos than the triple B Bubba used in his realm. "You know Bubba?" "I know Charisse and Michael both. Charisse and I used to work at the Cafe Pontalba together when we were in college. It's how they met. Michael was in town for a game, but I haven't talked to her in years." "Yeah, well, I talked to her this morning, and if she hears one word of this, she'll have me committed." Selena laughed. "Boy, any sane person would have you committed. You're so lucky I'm nuts that I accept the impossible as everyday fact." She looped her arm through his and pulled him in the direction of the streetcar. As they walked, there was something about her that confused him even more than waking up in this bizarre place. "Why are you exactly the same when no one else is?" "I wouldn't say no one. Tabitha doesn't sound like she's all that different. Tiana either. My theory would be that some of us are just too dang stubborn to be anyone else. Our personalities are so strong or intense that no matter where you put us, we'd still be us. Or you could say that the universe wills it so. Does it really matter?" "Does to me, especially right now." "Why?" "'Cause some of the changes of the people I know don't make any kind of sense, especially given what you just said. Trust me, no one has a stronger personality than they do." He stopped short of mentioning that Caleb and Simi were demons in his world, or that Asheron was an immortal, something with a great deal of power. How could they be those things in his world and be typical humans here, while Selena and possibly Tabitha were the same in both places? Just didn't make sense to him at all. Selena patted his arm. "Well, don't worry about it. We're going to fix your situation and find out what's really happening." He caught the underlying note in her voice that sent a shiver down his spine. "What do you mean?" "Well, if you're here, and this isn't where you're supposed to be, and yet there was another Nick living here before you arrived, it begs the question of where that other Nick went, doesn't it?" Oh, dang, he hadn't even thought of that. His newly spawned ulcer burned at the mere thought. "Are you telling me there's some dude in my skin at home?" "That would be my assumption." "Great. Just flippin' great. That was all he needed. Someone else screwing up his screwed-up life. Like, he didn't do that enough on his own. But worse, the other Nick, if he was from this world, wouldn't know he was part demon, nor would he have the skills to fight those who wanted to enslave him or kill him. And that was just his mother and girlfriend. Never mind all the real threats to his life. You gotta get me back there. That Nick, he could mess up everything. Bad, bad." He could unlock Nick's Malachi powers and unravel the entire universe. His gut knotting even harder, he allowed Selena to escort him to her red Mustang, then drive him back to the quarter. But instead of going to her stand, like she'd said, she veered off to the corner of Royal and St. Anne's, where Irzuli's authentic voodoo was located. Nick frowned at the pink building that was impossible to miss in both worlds. "Your aunt still owns this?" Selena parked the car. "Sorta. Tabby and T are technically the owners now. They're making payments to her for it."
What about Pandora's box?
She turned off the car and unbuckled her belt. That hasn't been part of our family since our aunt was murdered in her store 10 years ago.
Nick let out a sympathetic sigh.
Sorry.
Thanks.
She got out. Before joining her, Nick took a moment to absorb what she'd said and lay it down with what Ambrose had told him about Nick's future. None of it made sense. Why would some things here be so altered, while others weren't? Totally twisted. For now, though, he'd go with it. Not like he had any other choice.
He got out of the car and waited on the curb while Selena locked the doors. As they walked around the corner and neared the shop entrance, a weird sense of deja vu hit him.
Hard.
One of the last things they'd done before he'd been sucked out of his realm was to come here and buy the items Caleb needed for the binding spell they'd used on Nick's powers. The minute Nick had entered that store, all heck had broken out into the longest night of his life. Now it seemed like a lifetime ago. How could so much happen in such a short span of time? But then, that was life. The hits just keep on coming. Selena led the way into the neat pink and purple store that was identical to the one from his world, right down to the green shutters and dark shelving that held voodoo dolls, spells, oils, perfumes, soaps, wangas, and all manner of things.
"Hey, Tab!"
Selena shouted so loud it made Nick jump. She frowned at his reaction.
"You ought to see a doc about that nervous disorder, buddy. Reflexes like that? You must have been a cat in a former life. Congrats on evolving."
He didn't respond as he eyed the large voodoo altar on his left that had been set up for the goddess Erzuli the store had been named for. Last night, Selena's aunt had threatened his body parts if he touched it, or any of the offerings that lined it and the floor around it. Tabitha most likely wouldn't give a warning shot. She'd just geld him. And speak of the devil, she came out of the back room. Only, she was much more sedate. Gone was the queen of the damned and emo, and in her place was a woman in a muted blue sweater and jeans. She brushed a hand through her dark auburn hair.
"Tabby isn't here. She and Tia ran off to the rock shop for some new shipment they," she made air quotes with her fingers, "had to see." She rolled her eyes. "It's another box of rocks."
"Really? What is it with you wackadoodles?"
"You must be Amanda," Nick said, without thinking. She narrowed a suspicious gaze on him.
"Yeah? And you are..."
"Friend of the wackadoodles," Selena answered before he could speak. "Ignore the kid in front of the altar."
"Not a problem. I got plenty of work to do in back. I'm teaching myself to make a voodoo doll of Tabby. I can stab with pins."
Selena scoffed at her.
"That won't work."
"Won't stop me from trying. I obviously adore futility, as I've struggled to talk sanity into the lot of you for almost 30 years now." Amanda returned to the back room.
"Don't touch anything and get cursed while I'm not out front to stop you."
Strangely amused by Tabitha's twin, Nick met Selena's perturbed grimace.
"What now?"
She didn't answer as she began pulling things off the shelves and placing them in a small wicker basket that she'd picked up from the stack of them by the register.
"Are you making a potion?"
Selena held a wrapped package up to smell it before she added it to her stash.
"No, I'm out of soap and perfume at home. My aunt makes sure that only the best ingredients go into hers, and they're all natural."
"Ah."
Nick glanced at the door and windows and remembered Mark and Bubba fighting demons and a hellhound from the night before. God, it was so strange to be here where no one knew his real life, knew what he'd been through. Maybe I am crazy. Maybe this was his real life and the other a delusion, kind of like The Wizard of Oz. Maybe the demon Caleb was just a manifestation of the boy he'd grown up with. And Nick's subconscious had demonized him for eating a slice of Nick's pizza or something. Could happen. certainly made a lot more sense than Nick had jumped realities for no reason while he slept.
What is reality, anyway?
Really?
Was it what he knew? Or what he thought he knew?
Man, a guy could seriously lose his mind attempting to make sense of it all. Closing his eyes, he tried one more time to tap any of the powers the Grim Reaper had taught him.
Nada. Not even a burp or a hiccup. He was as powerless as the day he'd been born.
Irritated, Nick moved to the counter where there was a small display of pendulums. They weren't that different from the one he had that Grimm had taught him to use. Without thinking, he reached for the one made of jet. It should protect him from whatever evil was messing with him. But the moment he touched it, it shattered into a million pieces. With a Cajun curse, he jumped back to see the blood on his index finger. Facing him, Selena gaped.
"What are you?"
Before he could answer, his chest began burning like someone had set his clothes on fire. Clutching his heart, Nick fell to his knees.
Dog, it hurt. Bad.
His breathing ragged, he tried to center himself, to bury the pain so that he could function. But just like earlier at school, he couldn't. It felt like something was trying to suck him out of here. Or take him over. Worse, his hands turned translucent again.
Nick!
He heard Selena, yet he had no way of answering her. Words wouldn't form, no matter what he tried. Someone laughed inside his head, only it was more like a roar. With the speed of rapid-fire arrows, images flashed in his mind. He saw his own past, and a past he didn't know at all. Bubba was the same lunatic he knew, and at the same time, he was the man who was his father, here. In another place and time, he was a scarred commando in the jungle fighting zombies and other things Nick couldn't identify. He saw his mother dying over and over in world after world. His own future self on a demonic rampage. Flames leapt around him as he flew through a destroyed New Orleans landscape that was littered with bodies and twisted remains of cars and military transports and weapons.
Sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in secula seculorum. Cody's voice filled his head. As it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be to the ages of ages.
Closing his eyes, he allowed her gentleness to give him something he could focus on.
Pax tecum, little brother.
Ash's voice joined hers in his mind. And then a third, soothing voice joined theirs.
Speak your name, demon spawn, and I will give you what you want most. Peace will be yours. Forever.
Nick scowled. Speak his name? That made no sense. Why was the voice in his head if he didn't know him?
I am crazy.
Nick! Swallowing hard, he looked up into Selena's panicked eyes and saw what was to come for him in his world. You summoned Julian of Macedon for grace on her birthday. She set him free, and Kyrian...
In 6 months from now, he's supposed to meet Amanda.
Nick could see it all so clearly.
That was why Ambrose, Nick's future self, had told him to stay clear of Amanda and Tabitha.
Ambrose knew exactly what was to come for them. And by messing with the timeline, Nick could stop Kyrian from finding happiness and breaking free of his pact with Artemis. Nick could stop Kyrian's destiny and thereby alter everything.
One life touched thousands.
For the first time, Nick truly saw the vastness of it all and fully understood.
Every man is born as many and dies as one.
With every choice made, a part of the future died and an opportunity was lost. You narrowed your options and steered yourself down the path of your life.
a path that led Nick straight to a fate he didn't want. He'd been born to end the world, to destroy everything he loved and valued. Defy your destiny. Nick! Darkness surrounded him. It breathed into him and pressed against his chest until he feared he was dying. He couldn't get it to turn him loose. It was here, and all it wanted was his life, his powers, his immortal soul. Nick shook his head as he struggled for consciousness. But he was losing this battle. He was losing himself.
Give me your name.
Chapter 3. Houston, we got us a serious problem. All our thrusters are blown and we're about to combust into a fiery mess. Unamused by Caleb's dire tone, Cody paused in her dressing to switch the phone to her other ear. What demon inhalant have you discovered now? And who you got crying in the background? Is that Nick? Caleb, what have you done now?
Yeah, that'd be the very problem I'm calling about. And yes, that'd be your boy you're hearing, only the crybaby is not our Nick.
She held her breath at Caleb's words. My patience is out. Speak a language I understand.
Fine. Nick ain't Nick.
The Nick you hear woke up this morning screaming for his mom and, get this, his father, and saying that he's not in the right place over time. He doesn't know me or Zavid. He's never seen Nick's room before, and you don't want to know what he did when he saw himself in the mirror and saw a face that is not the one he's used to seeing. Just be glad you were at home, though, to be honest, I'm surprised you didn't hear his supersonic schoolgirl scream all the way over there. Cold terror gripped her. Without hanging up, she teleported from her house to Nick's bedroom, where she found him curled into a ball on his bed. Shirtless, he wore only a pair of dark blue flannel boxers. Cody knew that long, ripped body that jutted out from under the dark blue comforter where he'd buried his head. But the whiny tone was one she'd never heard from Nick before. With hair as dark as his alternate raven form, Caleb hung up the phone at her appearance. He gestured toward the bed, where Nick had his arms wrapped firmly around his head while he sobbed in agony.
You want to take it from here? He don't know me, and he don't want to see or talk to me.
Then he definitely wouldn't know her. Still, she felt compelled to try. Nick? Still whimpering, he lowered the comforter from his face. His lips quivered.
Do you know me?
No,
she didn't. She saw a stranger in those bright blue eyes. Horrified over this discovery, she narrowed her gaze on Zavid, who sat shirtless and barefoot in a corner on the floor. The newest member of their crew, he was a demon Nick had saved last night from a brutal death sentence. His hair was as black as Caleb's, and like Caleb and Nick, he was incredibly handsome, with the unearthly beauty that always clung to preternatural creatures.
What did you do?
Zavid curled his lips at her.
Sure. Blame the hellhound, like I did this. What is it with you two?
She glared at Zavid and dared him to lie.
I didn't do this. I know Caleb didn't do it. Only other creature in this room with those kind of powers happens to be you, Buster. What did you do?
Zavid pointed to Caleb with his middle finger.
Ask your other boyfriend.
That Dave demon troll bound my powers last night while I slept. There's no way I could have done anything to anyone. I'm so weak right now I can't even shapeshift.
Caleb snorted.
Don't cut your eyes at me, Bunga. The Dave didn't do this.
Folding his arms over his chest, he met Cody's gaze.
Whatever happened in this room while I was asleep on the couch outside swapped out Nick's soul and drained Z. Had nothing to do with me.
Are you drained? She asked Caleb. He shook his head.
For some reason, probably self-preservation, fear, and intelligence on their part, whoever did this left me alone. Scowling, Cody tried to make sense of their situation, but nothing added up. It wasn't possible for something to have gotten in here and done this. The Egyptian goddess Maat had sealed this house with sacred emblems that kept it safe from any preternatural attack. No one could get near Nick inside his home, not without an express invitation that none of them were dumb enough to issue. It baffled Cody. And nothing set off Maat's alarms? Caleb shook his head slowly. Any ideas what could break in here under the noses of three demons, the protection of a goddess, and do this? No, she had no idea. Kneeling on the bed, she cupped Nick's terrified face in her hands. Look at me,